actually reached double digits. This is a big undertaking and a big milestone, rather. Way number 10 in the 48 ways to honor the wise person. Last week, I'll just give a 1 minute. I think it's always nice. And I was looking actually today. I would like to find, I had at one point a list of the 48 ways listed, just snippets, so that you have it in three or four pages. Just sort of bullets. I couldn't find it today, but I'm not going to give up. Last week was concentration. We spoke about it again last week, that somebody, the best athletes in the world, it's only 10% their athletic ability. It's 90% concentration. We're able to guard our thoughts, we learned last week. People think, you know what, I can close my mouth, I can close my ears, I can close my eyes. Well, what comes into my head comes into my head. So last week we learned that's not the case. We can control our thoughts, what we want to come in. Before we do something, we have to clear our mind. And again, we want here with... I'm sorry? Are my lights on? The black car right here? Coming down to the right or coming down to the left?
Coming down to the right.
I'm on the left. Would you like me to do it? Mrs. Minz, I can do it. Hold on, let me put this on hold because it's icy outside. Give me 1 second. Okay, that's what we said again last week. Again, imagine that you're, again, sometimes you say, how can I, I'm just recapping last week, a minute from last week. Last week, again, was way number 9, total concentration, that we have control of our thoughts. And again, if you feel you can't, imagine the example, again, which we said, again, some takeaways, think of ourselves as the surgeon who got into a fight with his spouse. Bottom line is, when he's performing surgery, he is not thinking about the other things in his life, because if he is, we hope so, we hope. Just tell us his name.
It was a doctor who came out, and he was very angry about, I know, one of the doctors around the residence. He took a book full of the patient's, the history, and he threw it on the floor with all his friends. I so bothered him. Could you do that?
Wow. Right. I hope he wasn't teaching management, anger management. Anger management in 10 minutes, right after I'm finished.
So when you're talking about controlling thoughts, but that's not really the same as controlling emotions.
Right, right. Again, but you could. We did speak last week also about controlling emotions. We have the ability. It's difficult. It's definitely difficult. The takeaways from last year, again, focus on one thing at a time. If you focus on 10 things you want to accomplish, we are the master of our own mind. And also, right, contemplate one idea and clarify to the fullest extent. So that was last week. Last week was way number 9. And now we're back to way number 10. Honor the wise person. Again, what we're doing is Reb Noach's classical work, which is based on the 6th Perek in Pirkei Avos, which is the 48 ways. The Torah is nicknamed, the Torah is acquired by Arba Mishmona Dvarim by 48 ways. And tonight, double digits, we're on to the B'Shimush Chachamim. Shimush Chachamim, as we'll see in a minute, is being Mishamesh, as working with and with a wise person. So let's see exactly what that means. Don't read about wisdom in a book. Find an expert and watch how he works. I just actually saw this. I just heard a secular course today. It was on internet marketing, etc. And they said all these things. If you want to build muscles, you can't read it in a book. If you want to lose weight, you can't read it in a book. If you want to really know about wisdom, although we're learning all the time and we're reading in a book, the real way, Reb Noach is saying, based on the mission over here, is find an expert and see how he does it. Because you can read all day long, you could be a Harvard professor, and you won't get it. Imagine being hired to build a bridge across the Hudson River. You're supplied with all the tools, equipment, and manpower, and offered a whopping $10 million fee. But there's one condition. You are the only engineer allowed on the job. Now, of course, we don't know anything about building a bridge. And it took mankind thousands of years to master these techniques. So how exactly will you accomplish a goal, even though there's $10 million waiting? You know what you think? I'm going to go to a couple of different bridges. I'm going to look at them. I'm going to cross the bridge. And then by trial and error, I'll see I can do it so I can make the money. This we know. Right, we're not going to want to walk on it, right? This is ridiculous, but again, if you think about it, we spend life like that. You'd spend the next 50 years experimenting, and you'll get nowhere. The more intelligent approach is, if you had this opportunity, says, give me a year, let me go to MIT, one of the top schools. I'll study hard. I'll hire private tutors. I'll read every engineering text I can get my hands on, and then I'll come and build the bridge. Nobody undertakes an important project without being trained. So why do we, humans, why do most of us, we choose a career, we get married, we raise children, and most of the time it's all without training? Now, it happens to be now they're starting to see that there's some training with the younger couples, Baruch Hashem. There's been an epidemic the past couple of years. I've heard straight from one of the Rosh Hashivas a couple of years ago, there's mamish, a massive epidemic of within 1 or 2 years kids getting divorced. And the truth is, today, again, we always needed training, and even more so today, we need training. We need to be trained. For sure, and to raise children, majorly. We defend ourselves with slogans like, you know what, I'm going to play it by ear and I'll see how it's going to go. Then when things go wrong, we lick our wounds and start all over again. The question Renach is posing, is that the way we should live? Life is infinitely more complicated than bridge building. If you want to build a meaningful life, you need to find wise people and you need to learn from them. That is the key. This is way number 10, Shimush Chachamim, which he says literally means serving the wise people. Serve a Chacham, serve a Chachama. This means to learn from him and assist him. To succeed in life, you have to have a desire for wisdom, which we've been pounding the past 10 weeks, and pursue it. Behislavos. What does Islavos mean?
Enthusiasm.
Hang around with wise people and see how they apply wisdom to living. Ask a lot of questions and keep asking as long as they're willing to give you the time. Throughout Shas, you'll see in different places in Shas, again, the key is Shimush. Being mishamish. How does somebody become a dayan? A boy could be 30 and be able to quote every Rambam, every halacha, and the Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. He's not going to be a dayan unless he has what's called shimush. One must have shimush. Oh, he might be more brilliant than his Rebbe. It doesn't make a difference. If he hasn't learned, if he hasn't stood by and see the nuances, how to interact with people, what to say. The halacha might be black and white, and he knows the halacha because he has a photographic memory. If you don't have shimush, if you don't have shimush, it's close to worthless. You must do shimush chachamim.
Being an apprentice.
Exactly. Be with them. This
when
means.
Shimush, what does he see the Talmud Chacham doing? Learning or applying halacha?
Everything. It's mostly when we're talking about, again, when you're being a dayan, you need to be able to see. But we're assuming that the student is already Talmud Chacham. No, nobody can just walk in there already. Now it's how to apply it. Really, when we're talking about Shimush Chacham and all the stories, and Rabbi Rudinsky speaks about it all the time as well. And again, like Yehoshua said, it said he never left his Rebbe. He never left his Rebbe. Some of the greatest of the Talmudim, they never left their Rebbe. That's how they were able to take all of it in, to see how they act, how they sleep, how they talk to people. That's the key. This means to learn from them, assist them. To see in life, you need to have wisdom with this. Lavas, we said, hang around wise people and see how they live. Ask a lot of questions. Again, we are people of the book, and we are the curious people. Ask questions and keep asking as long as they're willing to give you the time. So you need to have to figure out how to do that. Wisdom, I underline this now, is the most important thing in the world. It is the key to a meaningful life. You'd never dream of using trial and error in operating rooms, so why leave your personal life to guesswork? Again, this is constant. Again, this is the point. We got to learn about life. Human beings like independence. We like to decide. We hate to admit that we need others. Most people would rather learn from their own mistakes than learn from others. What we imagine, we'll figure it out as we go along. I'm smart. I can work it out. So now Rav Noach is saying, and it's so true, Life is too short for this. We're bound to make mistakes anyway. So why add those we could otherwise prevent? As the saying goes, a fool learns from his own mistakes, a wise person learns from the mistakes of others. That is so clear, but what we have to understand here is the prior paragraph said a very insightful lesson. We innately, naturally, I want to try it. I want to try. I don't want to hear from you. I want to try. So we're programmed that way. This is such an important point. We are programmed that way. We have to fight ourselves and say, okay, I might want to, but I'll save years and a lot of heartache if I learn from others. Again, I mentioned I have this consultancy, and it seems that it's based on Tony Robbins, Lahavdil, who's built one of the top consulting practices in the world, and a lot of it is Torah-based, it's clear, a lot of it. And this is one of the things they say also, learn from others. There are masters in every field. Why should I recreate the wheel in any discipline, whether it's marketing, which I'm spending time on? Why learn? Learn from the other guy who spent 20 years, made a million mistakes, and let us pick it up. Yeah, that's what we're saying here.
If you make your own mistakes, it sticks better than if just watching somebody else.
Right. So that
experience is the best.
Right. So experience, but let's already experience it when I already have that knowledge. We're not going in and being the judge right away. I'm not saying I'm going to practice, I'm going to be trained. But we're going to make tons of mistakes anyway, but let's learn from others. We see people doing this all the time. College students go across Europe to quote-unquote learn about life. They may meet a lot of people walking down the street, but there are much more efficient ways to learn about life. If you're serious, you'll make a plan and get somebody to teach you. Imagine you can go back in time in 10 years and teach yourself an important lesson. Would you have listened? Would it be a mistake not to listen? Now that it's you, and you could go back 10 years ago, would you have listened? Again, remember that we're programmed that I want to do the mistake. You see, like Mrs. Grandma said, we're programmed, I want to do it. That's how we're programmed. We have to fight that. Now go talk to someone 10 years old. Ask him, did you ever make a mistake? He certainly learned something about life. Does that make any sense? Realize that you have a built-in resource of wisdom. This is talking to the young people, your parents. They're not the old fogies you think they are. As Mark Twain used to say, when I went to college, this is a great line, you know this, Mrs. Weitzman, my father was a fool. When I came back 4 years later, I was amazed how much wiser he'd become. It's so true. It's like Rabbi Waxman, I heard him say on a CD a couple of years ago, he says, nobody knows more than anything in the world, more than a 16-year-old boy. A 16-year-old boy knows the answers to all of life's challenges. When he gets 21, he sees, or hopefully by then, hopefully, he'll see. He's about 40. Do you want to give your parents some pleasure? Ask them for advice on an important issue, marriage, career. That's going to make them really happy. And on the wisdom scale, there's also a benefit to the kid, too. You could take 20 years on your own. Most of the humanity think, I know better. We all think we know better. They were an older generation. They didn't have the technology. All the kids, most of us, would think that they know better, right? All of us go through it. So he's telling us, let's learn. Let's learn from those that are older and wiser. And parents, for the younger people, for sure, is the low-hanging fruit. As a way to get started.
The problem is, it doesn't start when a child goes to a parent. It's something that the parent has to cultivate in the child. A parent who fosters a relationship with their child, a grandparent, but then that child is more likely to go to their parent or grandparent. But if there's no relationship,
right,
they're not going to go.
Right, right.
Right,
right. Right, relationship is key. I was just a little bit of a tangent when you were talking about this. I took my daughter to the doctor yesterday, Dr. Wurzberger, and I was sitting there. The Rabbi Schaefer, who lives here in Forche, has a book called The Shmooze. He gives shiurim on The Shmooze. He has a book on The Shmooze, and he was writing in there about a CEO. I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it seemed to be true. They made him a party, the CEO of a big company, and this was his going away party. He was retiring, and he saw everybody wanted his job, and he said, listen, I'll tell you, all of you would want my job, but it comes with a very heavy price. The price is that when I went to my daughter's wedding, he said, recently, I noticed I didn't know any of my daughter's friends. I didn't know any of my daughter's favorite books. I didn't know what certain things about her. That was a price to pay. So the key is the relationship.
Yeah.
Relationship is key. You're right. You can't jump in and just do that. Okay. Now work backwards and find somebody who can help approximate your ultimate goal. And don't start pursuing wisdom until you find it. Now, assist the wise person. So Reb Noach is saying here, do shimush. Okay, so what do we need to do? If the president of the United States came for a visit, we'd get up, we'd bring him a drink, we'd be ready to help him any way possible. You'd ask for advice and listen attentively. Even if you voted against him, he's still the president. We should do the same for a wise person. Stand up when he enters a room, which many of us will do. Help him, which many of us do. Pay attention to him, which many of us don't do. In other words, listen to what the person has to say. As a chacham say, serving a wise person, this is the takeaway here, is even greater than learning Torah. Serving, what do you mean serving? Let me learn for 10 hours. Serving the person, literally serving, here, let me help you, let me get your coat, that is better than learning, and learning is on the highest level. That, what does that mean? Because that's right. And I'm going, by that, I'm really going to learn. He's not saying, he didn't spoon feed us, but this is my takeaway on this. It's not with the open book, but I'm really going to learn. I will learn. That's how you do it. Not by reading a book only. Be an apprentice. That was the word that was said before, Mr. Shapiro. Follow your mentor around. Accompany him to meetings and on errands. Observe every nuance. You can read about it in a textbook. But the best education is to watch an expert work. Serving your mentor makes you closer to him. You'll be alert and eager to hear his advice. You'll have more respect for his wisdom. You'll understand what makes your mentor cut above the rest. Above all, you will learn and you will grow. Now, I'm thinking again. I'm talking to you ladies who are experienced again. The question is, like, if I'm thinking of a boy, a 20-year-old boy, then he can go ahead and with his rabbi. But all of us in our own life, and it might be more of a challenge for you, can do this. In other words, we can pick if it's a rabbi, if it's certain, if it's a relative that we respect, who a rav, this is all something that we could do to a certain level. Be prepared, now that's another part, to absorb wisdom. Be prepared to absorb wisdom. If you learned everything from everyone, you'd be one of the wisest people in the world. But that's not practical. You have to prioritize. There's a lot of wisdom out there. I have to prioritize. So how do we do it? Begin with a list of important life topics like marriage and child raising. Like we said before, those are two of the primary, if not the primary. Marriage and child raising. Then add more global issues. Start there. Now go shopping. You have a shopping list. You have questions. Ask people. Do you have expertise in this? Do you know somebody who can help? Carry your list around with you so you'll always be prepared to ask the question to the wise person when you meet him. Here are the few ideas to get you started. Who wants to read this? So we'll pass it on. Who can read this? Any volunteers? Any volunteers? Here, we'll pass. Here we have over here. It's on the bottom of page number 2. It's not a trick. I'm just trying to... Okay. Okay, right. Just read. Here are a few of the lists to get you started. The questions. Or whatever. Go.
What does it mean to be a good person?
Oh, continue. Right, that is good. That is good. Right, we're going to. Let's see if this fits everybody. Okay. This is meant to. I didn't set this up.
Show my anger.
Okay.
What is the key to greatness?
Okay.
How can I maximize my time?
Okay, I'm going to read this one. What makes a marriage successful? Okay, please continue.
How do I use my full potential? How do I break out of laziness?
How do I get more joy in living?
How can I have more patience with my children?
How can I be a better son for you?
What are my responsibilities to my community?
Well, that's a great question for you.
Please, Ms. Moore.
What is the meaning of existence? Well, that's a
deep.
That's pretty big.
What does God want from me?
Is there an afterlife?
How do we achieve world peace?
Wow. Now this is a lot of the...
Are we supposed to be answering these?
No, not now. Not now, but by going to the wise person, one step at a time, have these, whatever, these are sample questions, but the questions that are important to us, and he started, let's start. If we're going to be a parent or we're going into marriage, and that's the most important thing, and arguably that is, let's start with that. We don't need to, these high-level things are integral, but let's start with number one. We need to, whatever we're doing now, if we're in a relationship, whatever we're doing, our Yiddishkeit, let's keep the question among the most important and ask it. Choose a teacher for life. In elementary school, grammar school, you had a new teacher every year. Just when you became familiar with one teacher, and again, this is such a great insight, it was time to move up a grade and meet the next one. As adults, we need to take a different approach. Ideally, and I underline this, you should find one mentor to you throughout your life. Is that awesome? To find the right mentor, don't just take the nearest expert, the one on the block. Shop intelligently. Get references, check credentials, see if the person lives honestly and consistently with his knowledge. There are many people with a rabbi or a wise man title, but you got to check it out. Test a person's wisdom with questions. Find out who his mentors are. Make sure he's part of a respected community. The key to a good mentor is to develop, underline, strong trust and communication. You need both. We all know by ourselves that criticism is difficult to swallow. But it's a less better pill when it comes from someone you trust, someone who has insight and wisdom, someone who you believe is only out for your good. Choose someone who understands you and who knows your background and family history. Above all, and this is massive, make sure that the mentor is available, because you can have the greatest mentor in the world, but if you can't speak with him or her, what good is it? I remember there was a doctor my wife was going to 2 years ago, the best, but you couldn't get into him. So what? It's worthless, because you're expecting and you don't have access. So and he's bringing in that point. If you can't find the right person, he's giving us a solution here, an interim solution. Make an interim mentor to bounce ideas off and be accountable to. So if it's taking you days, weeks, months, find somebody in the meantime. Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest person who ever lived, yet he still had a mentor. Is that awesome? Tradition says that as long as Shlomo's mentor was alive, he never made a mistake. Once the mentor died, I don't know what the makor is for this, once the mentor died, Shlomo made mistakes. Having an objective advisor is so crucial that even if you choose somebody who's less than you, it's still worth it. As I often say, every king has advisors. Every CEO, every president, and many of them are smarter than everybody in the room. So I'm happy I was mechab into this. Why do you need that? The answer is we need to bounce ideas. O chavrusa o misusa, as we say. Either a chavrusa shop, having a partner to learn wisdom with, or death. We must have that. So people who are going through life, and they're plenty, they're bright, they're smart, they have some common sense, and they do it all on their own, they're doing it wrong. We need to have another, again, that's where aids are connected, why the spouse, but the spouse is one part. Then we need to have, as Rav Noach is saying here, based on the Mishnah, to have the wise person. Always be on the lookout, and don't give up until you find the right one. The loyalty factor. Human beings tend to hold on to what we know and defend our position. I know, I'm a Republican, I'm right, and this is wrong. We know. Wisdom requires change. Moving out of our comfort zone. Too often we avoid the pain and drop the wisdom altogether. Resist this temptation. In choosing a mentor, find somebody who's going to challenge you and encourage you to become great. Don't choose someone who allows you to maintain your weakness and prejudices. I keep bringing it up to this consultant. I had somebody for a while, and I said, I don't want somebody who's just going to tell me what I want to hear. I need somebody, and it was quite uncomfortable, who's going to tell me what I have to hear. And I've had several confrontations with this person, and I was even paying for it, so it really hurt. But that's the way you grow. You grow by not hearing what you want to hear, by hearing what you have to hear. That's how we have to grow. Be loyal to your mentor. Then you're prone to shop around every time he suggests something you don't like. By shopping, you'll end up with somebody who's less challenging to your prejudice. No, this guy's a little too harsh, and this guy's this. You'll find the exact perfect fit, and you're not going to grow. If you have a good doctor, you rely on his opinion. If you have a good mentor, stick with him. Don't shop around for answers that you like. It's like going to the Rav. This Rav didn't give me the answer I want. And I found the Rav. The Reform rabbi who will say it's okay to drive on Shabbos. Don't push yourself so hard, you know? You can find what you want. That's not what we want. Tell him. Tell your mentor. If you see me doing anything wrong, point it out. Is that a good line? I will promise to pay strict attention. Then, even if the mentor says that you're making a certain mistake, for example, being counterproductive and you don't want to hear that, you're going to listen. Even if you disagree, you're not allowed to dismiss what he says and tell him, you know, you do what you want and I'm going to do what I want. No, you owe your teacher respect. You've accepted that responsibility. Now, Rav Noach is saying, adding a point on this now. It doesn't mean you need to follow somebody blindly. If they say X, you have a mentor, you're taking what they say, and then you think about the different positions and you figure it out. Either convince me, rabbi, mentor, wise person, or I'll convince you. You have to understand my personal circumstances. That's the power of having a mentor. Because the message eventually will penetrate your world of defense. You'll overcome some bad mistakes. Furthermore, we're very subjective about ourselves. We twist reality and can't see ourselves. A mentor gives you objective feedback. He reduces your capacity to rationalize. You feel accountable and think twice before you act. What would my mentor say if I did this? If you can't come up with a good answer, don't do it. Again, that's something, somebody out there that I know I have to answer to. That's why sometimes somebody who's a boss, I keep using that example, and doesn't have anybody on top of them, it's an issue. You need somebody to hold you accountable. It's hard for us to hold ourselves accountable. We're very, can be critical about other people's behavior. Look, this guy's a kaisen. Look, this guy comes late. If I come late, it's okay. I can do it. If I'm texting the phone, it's okay. Nobody else in the world can text on the phone, but if I do it, it's okay. That's how we are. To get started, he says, now go ask three people. What do you recommend I do in this situation? Get some advice, and if you disagree, argue it out with them respectfully. Try it. Why is honoring the wise person a way to wisdom? So let's read this over here. Mrs. Graham, let's start.
To learn about life, you need a mentor, someone to guide you on a rational and consistent path. Human beings are subjective. We need someone to help give us objective views.
Independence is human nature, but if you don't moderate it, it will stand in the way of your growth.
Be a student of truth. The most destructive disease is ignorance, not being connected with reality.
Get in touch with those who understand life.
I underline that. Go find a teacher now. Now, I'm going to repeat, this was a short one today, but I will tell you these lessons. Rav Noach was brilliant. These lessons, if we do them, and they're not murder, but they take time, if we do them, we will have a different life, period. It's a different life. If we have to chazer them, we have to review them. But if we do this, we will have a different life. So when I was exposed to this a couple of years ago, and I heard a couple of shiurim, I was just blown away. The answer is, we have to review. We have to practice. We should tell it over. My recommendation is read it with somebody else. Go ahead and tell, give the takeaways to somebody else. Yes, here. No, I have another one. I have another one right here. Any questions? Okay. So we're going to get, we have an early night tonight, I guess, for the snow.